My friends, in the risen Savior, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus. May he fill your nets with those gifts of his grace and peace. God's word again from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John, the third appearance of Jesus Christ after his resurrection to his disciples, especially verses 4 through 10. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, about 100 yards off. And when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, have you ever blown it? Ever made a bad decision or ever let somebody down? Well, yeah. Do I breathe? Of course I've blown it. I've blown it so many times. All right, let me ask you this. Have you ever had someone give you a second chance? So deeply does Jesus love those whom he calls that when we blow it big time, when we fail badly, when we flat out deny him, he does not deny us. But he bids us again and again and again to come back to his merciful embrace, to sit down and eat with him. Jesus is the Lord of second chances. And it's a good thing because again and again and again, his disciples prove how weak and lousy they really are at what they do. And most obviously and first, the disciples were just lousy students of their teacher. They were slow to catch on, they were weak, and they were fearful. And in this way, Peter sort of epitomizes all of the disciples and represents the whole group. Again and again and again, Peter had failed to understand the teachings of his Lord. That the Lord, as the Messiah, would have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and would be crucified and on the third day rise again in order to redeem mankind and complete his saving mission. But Peter just couldn't get it. Time and time and time again, count it, 3 times Peter had denied his Lord. He was embarrassed and afraid to be associated with Jesus Christ in this world. And then after Jesus' death, again, Peter was afraid of the Jews and of their leaders. And even after the resurrection, again, Peter was still afraid, still locking himself behind locked windows and doors. Some disciple he was. And the rest of the crew with him, they were no better. They were all lousy disciples, which is so comforting for us, isn't it? Because we are so much like them. They're so much like us. How many times have you heard the teachings of the Lord, but you failed to put them into practice or to understand what they mean for your life? In one ear, out the other. How many times have you been embarrassed to be associated with Jesus Christ in this world? How many times were you afraid of what others might think about you? And effectively, you denied him by the way you talk and by the way you behave and by the choices that you make. You know, it strikes me that we are a lot like this bungling burglar in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't know if you saw that this past week. He robbed a drugstore, and then he was trying to get out, and they caught this on surveillance tape, trying to get out of the store that he had just robbed through the ceiling using this tall step ladder. And again and again and again, as he climbed this ladder, it slipped out from under him, and he was left dangling from the ceiling with his legs kicking around. He'd fall back to the floor on the ladder. He'd set it back up, and he'd try again, and it would fall out again and again and again. And it struck me, you know, that must be what we look like to Christ as He surveils us from above. We pick ourselves up, say, I'm going to do better this time. I'm going to make it this time. And then boom, we fall right back down again, and we fail, and we fall, and we fail. We must look ridiculous. But you know, it's not just in their relationship to Christ that they were such miserable failures, these disciples. It turns out that they were pretty lousy, even at the very thing they thought they knew how to do. Fishing. As our gospel reading opens today, they'd been out fishing all night long, and they caught nothing. Caught nothing. Boy, doesn't that sound like a lot of lives? Of people who were so sure they knew how to fill up their own nets. Oh, they've been hauling in boatloads of money, only to discover, and sometimes to discover too late, that the greatest longings of the heart are never satisfied by riches. And they came up with empty nets. There are those who are forever trying to reel in, you know, the next great job or promotion, only to find out that work for the sake of work and for the sake of advancing has no contentment in it at all. And they come up empty again. We spend so much time amassing all of this stuff, and my goodness, do we know that here in our lives lately, amassing all of this stuff and then trying to pay it all off, that we vacated our relationships along the way, and we came up empty again. We fill our senses with all kinds of entertainment, only to realize in a quiet, reflective moment that all we've been doing is masking the emptiness inside of us. We were so sure we knew what we were doing, but we caught nothing. As Ecclesiastes says, it was all just a chasing after the wind. All we were doing was catching air, which is great if you're a half-pipe snowboarder, but it's not so great if you're living your life. We chose our jobs and our dates and our girlfriends and boyfriends and our spouses without ever going to God in prayer, without ever considering what He would want for our relationships. And we wonder why our lives are not as fulfilling as we thought they would be. We chased our toys, our good times, our next raises, and we did all of that with eagerness. But we heard God's word, and we answered His call with indifference and apathy. And again and again and again, we failed and we fell. And we came up with empty nets. And yet the Lord in His infinite patience and mercy again and again and again comes to fellowship with His poor, miserable, empty-netted, air-catching disciples. In our story, He first tells them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, which seemed to them at first a ridiculous instruction. What does it matter which side of the boat you cast your net on? But, you know, I guess God's ways always seem a little bit foolish to us, don't they? But they talked about it amongst themselves and said, all right, we'll do it. And they were blessed beyond belief. And in that catch of 153 large fish, John and Peter recognized the one whom they had failed so miserably had now come back to bless them so mercifully. Their failures had met with His forgiveness. No wonder Peter dove into the water to get to Jesus on shore as fast as he could. It was the fastest 100-yard freestyle Peter ever did. And that sets the scene, that wonderful scene that you see on your bulletin cover today. that blessed time of fellowship between Jesus and his disciples as they shared breakfast on the seashore, the waves gently lapping up on the sand and the sun peeking up over the eastern horizon. Peter is still soaked, not just with water, but even more importantly, he's soaked in the guilt of his failure. But even so, the Lord breaks bread with him and shares fish with him in a culinary demonstration of peace and of forgiveness. And more than that, as we read also, the Lord not only forgives him, but he also restores Peter and the others to discipleship as fishers of men. Three times Peter had denied Jesus Christ, and three times Jesus now gives him the opportunity to express his love. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But this time Peter's bombast is gone, because he knows that he has only to brag in the Lord Jesus. He has nothing to boast of in himself. His boast is Jesus Christ and the amazing grace and the incredible patience and mercy of the one who redeemed him. And he is gently restored as one who would feed the lambs of Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of second chances. And it's a good thing, isn't it? Because again and again and again, we prove to be so weak and lousy as his disciples. Have you ever tried to give a hug and a kiss to your budding adolescent son in front of his football buddies? Dad, stop it! You're embarrassing me! Likewise, image-conscious adolescent girls share stories about their embarrassing mothers, and they feel a need to keep a distance from their parents or face the mocking and the rejection of their peers. And of course, it hurts as a parent when a child does that. But a loving parent will never disown their children who feel that way. But they will absorb whatever hurt they may feel, and they will put it aside, and they will continue to love their children regardless, and give them opportunities to express their love in return. Isn't that a great illustration of our relationship to the risen Lord? Again and again and again, we were embarrassed by him. We were afraid to tell others that we belong to him, that we love him. Feared being mocked and rejected by our peers. But again and again and again, our merciful Lord keeps coming back to us, to fellowship with us, to invite us to dine with him at his meal. And he restores us in the forgiveness of our sins and failures, and gives us another chance to go out now and to express our love for him by serving him out there in the world and by acknowledging him in front of others. Yes, I know Jesus. I love him. He is my Lord. And his grace and his gifts of mercy and life and salvation will fill your nets to overflowing again and again and again. Rejoice, therefore, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.